my God, you guys are my favorite.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
The one and only
Rich Eisen.
I know what I'm talking about. That's the headline.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
This stupid rule that you fumble the ball into the end zone, you lose possession, and the defense gets it. The XFL and the USFL. Now you fumble through the end zone, you get the ball back on offense at the spot of where you fumbled it.
Earlier on the show, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero. Coming up, quarterback consultant Jordan Palmer. Actor and comedian David Cross. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show on the air. Great chat with Tom Pelissero. And hour number one, we're going to have a great chat with David Cross, the comedian and actor and one of the funniest on Arrested Development. He's in studio hour number three. It's going to be a great chat with him. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the program. Back in the chair after a little bit of a walkabout with the fam. At altitude in the beautiful state of Colorado. It was great hanging there. Good to have you back with us on this busy Tuesday. Chris Brockman, good to see
what
you
up,
in
Rich?
Your spot.
How's
DJ
going,
Mikey
buddy?
D is in D's Nuts. And TJ Jefferson, as always, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Joining us here to kick off hour number two, let's get right to him. Because with franchise tags being able to be applied today, we just had Tom Pelissero talk about the quarterback carousel. Damn near half the league might be in need of a quarterback. And if they're not in need of a quarterback now, certainly with quarterbacks getting paid what they might get paid in free agency, I think you're going to see teams draft multiple teams draft quarterbacks this year. And you'll be like, what is that? What gives with that? I think
we're going to see four in the first round.
That's the idea as well. So here to help us kick off essentially our talent evaluation coverage, combine 1 week from tonight. I'll be heading off to Indianapolis with the draft in Kansas City. Joining us here on the Rich Eisen Show is the founder and coach of the QB Summit and quarterback consultant extraordinaire, our friend Jordan Palmer, back here on the show. How you doing, Jordan?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Rich?
Hanging in there.
From Super Bowl, I'm sure that was a wild week.
It was wild. It really was wild and was a great game, right? I mean, how high of a level was the quarterback play in that game, Jordan?
I mean, when Patrick Mahomes had the second best game, it's really high.
Right? I mean, unreal. Exactly.
Yeah, Jalen did what I thought he'd do, which is rise to the occasion, which is kind of what he's, developing. It's kind of becoming a trend at this point. The lights were not too bright for him. The stage was not too big. Pat's been on that stage before, but yeah, it's exciting for the future of the league and obviously, for those two fan bases to get to that game.
And then let's start with a macro a quarterback evaluation question based off of what we saw from Jalen Hurts. What is the it factor? Can you tell it, Jordan, where someone has the it? And that, sure, if they make the Super Bowl one day, guess what? They're going to be the first quarterback in the history of the game to run two or more in or throw one in, and it'll be done by halftime, like Jalen Hurts did.
Yeah, I think I've been around Jalen since high school, and I think his actual, unique trait is the combination of confidence, because you and I have talked, I think it's the most important trait in a quarterback by a mile. But he's got this element of, it's a combo of the confidence to play at the level that he did. He didn't accidentally play great, right? He didn't pull one out of the hat. No, he just played a great game. But also the humility. This guy, I'll be the first to say, when he was getting ready for the draft, I didn't know what round he'd go, but I sure didn't think second. I didn't think he could throw it well enough. Obviously Bama didn't think he – and he's just his commitment to get better. And I know that sounds like a fan hears this and go, well, they're all working hard. They all get better. Yeah, that's true. But some guys go – play at a high level and say, I'm not good enough, and they just completely recommit themselves. And so he's just a creature of habit, and he's a process guy. And I've told you this, the best athletes I've ever been around get behind their behaviors, they don't just lean on their talents. Mm-hmm. And this is a really talented player who buys into the idea of having, the behaviors and the patterns and the process and the routines to continue to get better. So I think Jalen's going to be a lot better in 2 years because of that, not because of his physical talents.
QB consultant and quarterback summit founder and coach Jordan Palmer here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's get into this year's draft right now. What are you hearing? And I'm going to say, clearly your ears to the ground and you hear a lot of talk, clearly, being in the business that you've chosen after your playing career. What are people saying what the Bears are going to do first overall with this pick? Jordan?
Well, I'm not sure. I think the most logical thing is, you know, Justin has had, I think, two different coordinators, right? And we would not say an embarrassment of riches around him in that huddle in terms of talent. Right. And so if you're going to stick with Justin, which is it's what I do, is stick with Justin and put playmakers around him. I would invest in playmakers, not O-line. Let him create time and space, which is what he's been doing since high school. But give him some guys who can win one-on-one matchups. And then from a scheme standpoint, you know, how do we get guys across the field and how do we get guys with space to catch it underneath? Those are that's kind of that recipe. If you have a mobile quarterback who can get rid of it quickly, I think that's the move. And then you got to limit how many times he's touching the ball or he's running the ball. And on top of that, he's got to evolve his game where he's not putting himself in harm's way. One of the things that doesn't get talked a lot about is, you know, Russell Wilson for all those years used his legs as good as anybody, won more games in the NFL in his first eight seasons than any quarterback. He also didn't take big hits. And Josh Allen early in his career took big hits. He's gotten better at not taking big hits. It's actually a thing you can get better at, but it's a thing you can only get better at in games because we can't simulate it or practice it. I don't have any drills. I don't tackle guys out here.
Right.
And so he has to evolve his running style. And ironically, a player who, if I was working with Justin, I would tell him, watch this guy's tape. And I've talked to a couple receiver clients and told them to watch this guy's tape. It was Matt Forte. I played with him in Chicago, and as good as he was, I never really saw him get smoked. You know, he just kind of ended up not taking big hits ever. So I think it's a learned trait, and if Justin can improve there, if they can improve the skill sets around him, then I don't think they need to roll the dice. And I'm not saying these quarterbacks are a dice roll, but drafting a young guy is a dice roll. When you've got a guy with really another 2 years until you have to decide on him, I think you roll with them.
Well, and I totally agree with you on that front, Jordan, but you know the way this business works, that to help Justin Fields the most, you've got to make it seem like you might not stick with him. Thus, you get the first overall pick traded for the absolute most you can get. Unless you fall in love with Will Anderson or Jalen Carter, then pull the trigger on them right off the bat and go to work. So the question is, are the top guys in this class, you know, and I know you are coaching some of them up right now, do you think that they are top first overall pick worthy, Jordan?
I do. I think, you know, I've been watching Bryce Young since he was little. And, you know, his size is going to scare some people away. We'll see what the smoke screens end up shaking out. You know, who is okay with his size and who is not, that's probably not going to come out. Will Levis, who I'm watching get out of his 40 stance right now,
I love it.
Is a guy that there's going to be a lot of comparisons. Him and Anthony Richardson, they're going to get the Josh Allen comparisons because of their physical prowess and all that. But he's a guy who's played a lot of ball. You know, being a good student isn't relevant to me, but when you have like a 3.9 in the business program and then you get your master's in finance, then it starts becoming relevant. Like, okay, maybe this is actually a unique trait, how intelligent. And then CJ, another guy I've been around since he was little. Really, what doesn't get talked about with CJ is his personality and how he, you know, the leadership traits, and he's a dog, and I think you got to be one at this level. So you really got four interesting guys at the top. It's just going to come down to whether the Bears trade out of one or whatever. You know, is the team okay with Bryce's size because the game tape is just so exceptional and the level he's played at really his entire career, going back to his first high school he went to, all the way through Bama, has been at such a high level playing for Bill O'Brien, who's now an offensive coordinator in the league again. So I think that's just how it's going to shake out. But if you're the Bears, it's really, do you move to two, you know, and then take that pass rusher you have at the top, or if you move to four, can you still get one of those pass rushers? And I think that's what, you know, Ryan Poles and the Bears are going to have a lot of time to think about.
Jordan Palmer, QB Summit founder and coach and quarterback consultant, calling in from one of his consultant sessions right now here on the Rich Eisen Show. Tell me more about Will Levis. Tell me more about him and his skill set and his readiness to play in the pros right now, Jordan.
Yeah, I think the thing it'll be well documented, and you know, you'll see it in Indy a little bit just because there's not a huge opportunity to show off arm talent in Indianapolis the way that it's structured. But Pro Day will show it off. But he's got a lot of juice. He can absolutely rip it. Point of emphasis for him has been on the movement side of things, getting yourself to a consistent spot. So much about quarterback play, so much more about movement is so much more important about more important in quarterback play than I think people give it credit to, and including NFL quarterback coaches. And so that's been a point of emphasis, getting them to a position where no matter what happens around them, they can do what they need to do when they throw. They can transfer energy efficiently, and they can do it with balance and fluidity so that they can have control. So, you know, Will has a monster arm. The focus is on touch balls and layer balls, just like, you know, the last couple years has been with Josh Allen in my time with him, who I didn't need to show Josh how to throw the ball hard. He had that since he was little. What you saw in the jump for Josh Allen from year two to three, and then continuing to get better, is just that control on the football when it comes to layer and touching. I just think with Will's buy-in, he's is bought in, and his work ethic is probably as good as I've seen at this age, maturity-wise, as good as I've seen at this age. I just think that happens fast for him, that evolution. And I think he's ready to rock. I mean, he's done it at two schools. He's had two different offensive coordinators at Kentucky who were NFL offensive coordinators. So he ran the most a system that was most similar to what most NFL teams run. Mm. And so I think it's a quick transition for him.
Tell me about Hendon Hooker and his health. What can you lay on me here,
Jordan? Yeah, Hendon's in my group as well. And mm-hmm. and I mean, what the takeaway, and this will be unanimous, is just this is just a unbelievable young dude. I mean, just super mature, has his stuff together, has a plan, and that just shows up in interviews. But yeah, but from a health perspective, he's ahead of schedule. He's doing rehab out here. He ditched the crutches a few weeks ago.
That's good.
And he'll be you know, nowadays with ACLs, I mean, it's you can kind of put a date in the calendar when they'll be back, and for the most part, guys hit it, especially with the resources they have from a physical therapy standpoint and then the work ethic. So I think with Hendon, I don't know what that date is, but he's going to be looked at to be, you know, probably healthy for this season and ready to contribute. And, you know, the gameplay and the system they ran is, from what I'm hearing, is not as big of an issue, because a lot of NFL teams are stealing from college in a way that college teams used to steal from NFL from a schematic standpoint. So in 10 years ago, it would have been a knock that he played for Josh Heupel. Now people are interviewing him and asking him how they run choice routes, mm-hmm. you know, and pulling from that system and the pace of play. So I think he's another guy who can have a smooth transition, and playing at Tennessee and how bright those lights were this year. I don't see, you know, this stage going from college to pro being as drastic for him.
I've got Max Duggan on tomorrow. What do I ask him other than why did you do to my alma mater what you did? Outside of that, what do I ask Max?
Oh, man, you're going to love Max.
Oh, really? Because I didn't love him. I saw him in person at the Fiesta Bowl. Didn't love him at all.
No.
Didn't love him. Didn't love him at all. But other than that, it's just personal.
You know who he is, and I know you love this guy. He's like Sam Darnold. He's just like simple, okay. Hardworking, treat people with dignity and respect. He's from Council Bluffs, Iowa.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So we started working together this offseason. Mm-hmm. He had never had a lesson. He'd never gone to one of those camps and trained with that guy, and never once. Played four sports in high school in Council Bluffs, Iowa. His dad's a high school football coach. He's just a simple dude who's just a fan favorite. I got five guys in my group, and he's a fan favorite. I mean, this guy, like, it's nowhere to go but up from here for him, because he's kind of for the first time learning the why behind what he does, and that's coming off of a runner up in the Heisman and national championship season, right? The final. So
right,
I refer to him as he is a pretty unbelievable ball of clay.
Okay, you're molding him. Last one for you on the before I let you go. DTR, tell me about this Bruin and what I'm going to see out of him, and what his NFL comp might be. You got one on that front?
I will say this live on your show.
Yes, sir.
2 years ago, I didn't know. I don't know. You know, great athlete, great kid, but I don't know. He's a guy. I'm not saying because our month together so far. I'm just saying I've watched, won 9 games his junior year.
Yep.
This last year, back spasms in the bowl game kept them from winning. That would have been a 10-win season, right? And nobody predicted that this year because UCLA, didn't have a lot of stars around him outside of the running back. And so I think Dorian's a guy. Intelligence, played a lot of football. I think he's one of the probably top 10 playmakers in this draft in terms of just a dude with the ball in his hand making something happen. But he's a pocket passer. And, you know, he went to the Shrine Bowl, mm-hmm. I think, looked, you know, there was a big gap between him and everybody else there. And from a velocity standpoint, I think people are coming out of Vegas at the Shrine Bowl and then, you know, through the next tier phase of the combine and then the pro days, I think Dorian is going to be one of the guys that rises as much as any quarterback in this class.
All right. What's going on with you're taking your summit on the road, an 8-stop summit tour?
Yeah, I did it last year. I did a dozen stops around the country.
Okay.
I was running these camps out here, and 60% of the people that were coming from out of state. So Summit Tour, QBSummit.com. I have a camp this weekend in Orange County, and then we hit the road for the next six. Going around the country, Orlando, Houston, Chicago, D.C., and, middle school and high school quarterbacks. I have a different approach. We don't do fun drills and gadgets and learn trick shots.
Mm-hmm.
The same stuff I teach some of the best players on Sundays and Saturdays is what I teach these young guys and teach them how to be a quarterback in every phase of their life too. So love doing it. Love working with the regular kid too, not just the elite guys. And this is the chance to do it.
All right. When's El Segundo going to be a stop right here? We can throw it around in studio.
2024.
Come on. Let's do it. Let's figure it out. Let's get you in here in person. And there's lots of time to chop it up between now and the draft. And
I'll teach the quarterback stuff. You teach the 40-yard dash. We got a deal.
Done. Absolutely. I can help Will Levis with his time and his release and stuff like that. I don't know whether to be aghast, impressed, or just downright freaked out by the fact that Max Duggan did what he did to my school without any of that, all that teaching and stuff like that from back in his day growing up. It's freaking me out right now, man.
Some dudes just need a ball, a bag and a ball. You know what I mean?
He's one of them.
Just get up there and grip it and rip it. Yeah.
His post-game Big 12 press conference after they lost to Kansas State where he just wore it all on his sleeve and just poured it all out. Can't teach that, brother. Can't. I love that.
Yeah, you know, some guys, they're going to say the thing that's correct or that looks the best or that they feel like they should say. And then some guys are just incapable of BS. Like, they actually can't BS it. They
right.
just are going to be on. He's one of those guys, like, I don't even credit him for his honesty. He's just incapable of BSing you, and I love that in players.
Last thing for you. I know I've kept you probably a little bit longer. Just give me a couple more minutes if you don't mind.
Yeah.
You're watching Trevor Lawrence throw all those interceptions in the first half of the playoff game against the Chargers. What are you thinking? What's going through your mind about one of your proteges?
I was thinking, heck of a year. Bummer it's going to end this way. So was just so pumped. Trevor's a guy, he just doesn't, like, emotion's not part of his game. I'd say the same thing about Burrow and several other guys.
Right.
Whereas there's been some great quarterbacks where the emotion is what caused them to throw that pick, right? They wanted it too bad, or they were so pissed about the last drive. They forced something. You know, Trevor, Joe, I can name a long list of guys where Trevor just doesn't bring emotion into it. You know, I think it's just, you know, he could throw three picks or four picks or be down 21 or whatever. It's just second and four. You know what I mean? Like, they're able to just be present. And I think, and I told him this, last year, that experience, because before last season, I mean, the number was dumb. He was like 68-3 or something stupid between high school and college.
Right.
He had stability in high school with his coach. He had stability with Dabo for 3 years at Clemson. And then he was in arguably the most unstable environment that a franchise, young, first-year rookie franchise quarterback has had to live through last year with Urban and all the stuff that went down there. I told him to earn it and definitely remind him now, like, that year will be as valuable as any because we don't really know who we are until we fail, right? When things are going well, we can believe things about, but until we really fail, whether it's our fault or a combination of elements, like, we don't really know who we are, and it's not even about the media knowing who we are or the fan base. Nope. You don't know who you are until you really fail. And I thought that was just an invaluable year for him to go through. And the emotional comment that I made where I don't think he brings it to work with him, it showed because he just kind of reset and had a great turnaround year. And I think he's going to take another step this next year.
I honestly thought Doug might have to pull him. I really thought that because it was just so I've never seen anything like it. It's the first time we've ever seen those many picks. And he kept him in there. And, I mean, what a turnaround. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
I thought he had a pull.
Yeah, it was incredible.
You take care of yourself, Jordan. Thanks for the time. Be well.
Thanks, Rich.
You got it. That's Jordan Palmer right here. Fun stuff.
Love it.
Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud. Obviously, he's thrown his own guy, Will Levis, in here. Mm-hmm. I just saw Daniel Jeremiah's first mock draft at the NFL Network.
2.0.
Is it 2.0?
Today is 2.0.
He just you know, he just came out with it. He had Levis going 7th overall.
Seven.
To who? Who's drafting 7th overall? I don't have that right up here. He had him go. He doesn't do trades. So he had Stroud dropping all the way to
Vegas,
the Colts.
Vegas 7th.
Vegas 7th. Yeah. There you go, man. Vegas would take him. Of course, after Aaron Rodgers signs there. So yeah. he'll become the latest in the Mad Lib proper noun of guys who have to sit behind him.
You're right, Ridgeman. Half the league, TJ and I were going back and forth. Half the league doesn't know who their starter is next year.
As of right now, right, on the 21st of February, 2023. Crazy. Monster.com can get you ready for your job hunt right here and right now. Make your next career move and make it work and make it stick and get paid what you're worth. If you're looking to change positions and join a new team, guess what? Monster.com can help, because at Monster.com, there's millions of job openings and great coaching and career advice for a strong performance when it counts. Plus, when you upload your resume to Monster.com, you can be recruited by employers before they even post their jobs. Monster.com specializes in building the right teams for employers so they know how to match you with the job fits that fits you the best. And when you score the position, Monster.com has a salary calculator that ensures you're paid what you're worth. So it's time. Get ready for your job hunt with Monster.com and win the job hunt. Monster.com. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Top 5 NFL storylines heading into the offseason. That's still to come. Men, do you get distracted during the day thinking about your underarms sweating, itching, or emitting an odor? Do those thoughts keep you from showing care when it counts? New and improved Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant with 72-hour sweat and odor protection and 1/4 moisturizing cream helps you forget about your underarms so you can be present for the moments that matter. Don't let underarm insecurities keep you at arm's distance from the ones you care about. Buy new and improved Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant wherever personal care products are sold.
For decades, Rolling Stone has set the bar for entertainment publications. Today, Rolling Stone Music Now takes over in podcast form.
SZA. You seem like a person with a pretty high level of anxiety, but you also seem fearless artistically.
I feel like ideas have more power than identity. Like the excitement overrides insecurity. That is the only way that I'm ever able to accomplish anything.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.
Our terrestrial radio audience is rejoining our Roku stream. We just showed you the Jonathan Gannon montage that the Cardinals put out of him meeting the players, meeting a lot of their players for the first time. And it went viral because, again, just, you know, it appeared to be some of the first times he's met these players. Boy, do the Cardinals really put it out there.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the camera's on and it looks like he had not met Kyler Murray before or any of these players. And their first blush reaction, because he's, you know, getting to meet them and the one interaction that got the most attention was him with Rondale Moore, where he's going, pew, 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 shots fired, explosives. Boy, man, you can really run. And it had that Steve Buscemi, how are you doing, fellow kids, type vibe to it.
Yeah.
I just want to counsel everybody. Nobody had, in my opinion, in the last, several years, a worse first impression than the guy he just he used to coach with and for, in Nick Sirianni. Nick Sirianni's first press conference in Philadelphia was like, this guy is going to be an unmitigated disaster. They're going to chew him up. They're going to spit him out.
Like, he made Adam Gase's look normal.
Okay. It was, so let's not jump. Here. But boy, did people jump over the weekend. Like, this guy is going to be a disaster. He can't read the room. He's not going to connect to these players, even though the Cardinals say players coach. That was the copy that was associated with this video being tweeted out. And you do see there and you're like, oh God.
Yeah.
But these are also the first blush moments. And I brought this up to Tom Pelissero earlier in hour number one and pointed out, like, he's a young guy who just, who is very brash, as Tom pointed out, there's video of him rolling his window down, saying to fellow Eagles fans, as they're on the road together, I guess they're in traffic, sitting at a red light together, and they scream out, oh, there's the DC of the Philadelphia Eagles. And he's like, we're going to tear these guys apart. And guess what didn't happen? They didn't tear the Chiefs apart on defense at all. And now he's coming in, and again, another coach who had that sort of backlash when he got hired is in that division, Kyle Shanahan. Niners get the guy who just got chewed up and spat out in the Super, out-coached in the Super Bowl. We're going to bring him. So let's, again, pump the brakes a little bit here. Let's give him a shot, because the one thing that he's going to really, out of all of these interactions, the one that matters the most to me is the one with Kyler Murray. And he hired Drew Petzing from Cleveland. I've never met the guy. I don't know him. But boy, is that guy going to need to be have some buy-in from Kyler Murray. 39 years old. Their defensive coordinator is 29 years old. Nick Rallis. And I don't, you know, you're going to hear about the ages. I'm also not going to go in there as well. I was a 26-year-old hired by SportsCenter, and it took me a while to get the hang of it. This has just been a fascinating hire, a defensive guy who's now brought in a 35-year-old assistant who's going to have to go to Kyler Murray and say, buy into our system, including Gannon saying, we're going to have Murray go under center.
Yeah.
He's going to have to go under center a lot more, not just standing there in shotgun. He's not wrong, Gannon, by the way, that when you're in shotgun all the time, you're basically telling the defense, you can play us a certain way.
Yeah, come get me.
Okay, so let's see what he does. The problem is they're going to lose a lot, because Kyler might not show up till the middle of the season next year. And then who knows how what? You've seen guys take a while to come back from the ACL.
Takes a whole season.
After they come back from the ACL. So, so I will put this, because you heard what Tom said too, is that his contract is imminently tradable. This Cardinals season is going to be fascinating, because they're going to lose, one would think, unless their backup is so stellar.
It's Cole McCoy.
Or they might go into the free agent market and get somebody else, because that's going to be the starter for much of 2023 for the Cardinals. And then if they don't perform very well, if they show up around the trade deadline, if you will, several games under 500, do you start selling off more pieces there? Yep. And then you don't bring Kyler back at all, because why would you do that? And then once you do get to that point of maybe, and again, this is a very negative way of looking at it, but it's also a realistic way of looking at it here. Certainly if DeAndre Hopkins wants out, certainly if you trade D-Hop maybe between now and the season or at the trade deadline next year, somebody's going to raise their hands. Kansas City Chiefs might. You know what I'm saying? So you can prepare for the future by also figuring out, what if the Cardinals wind up in the same spot as the current Chicago Bears? And Caleb Williams is sitting out there.
You're going to Rosen Kyler Murray?
I'm just saying. These are tea leaves I see and hear. I love front-loading stuff to you folks.
Yeah, you do.
Not right all the time. I don't care. I care about being wrong more than I care about being right here. I do love being right, as you know. I'm just saying, I'm wondering what Jonathan Gannon has talked about with the front office, Michael Bidwell, who I just saw in Arizona. They pulled off an incredible Super Bowl there in Arizona, and then they hired this guy. What has been talked about? And I know he said to him, you're a franchise player, and he is that guy and can be that guy. Certainly if he can come in and say, did you see what the staff I was with did with Jalen Hurts? I had a front row seat to it.
Yeah.
The problem is, though, is he's not the guy in the headset. Mm-hmm. It's the guy who he brought over from Cleveland who's in the headset, and this is the buy-in that's going to be required from Kyler Murray. It's got to be sitting there. That's what I'm thinking. What's the inner monologue of Murray when Gannon's coming up to him and the cameras are on him and the Cardinals are tweeting it out? This is all the things that I'm thinking about. We won't know.
We'll never know.
Well, we won't know.
I mean, he's the guy that deleted Instagram last year.
Who knows,
man? You know what I mean?
So.
Did you guys really find that interaction that awkward?
The one with Rondell Moore, I think, was the one that.
I don't know. I mean, like, I'm just, as a fan sitting back watching this, do people expect that he's going to, previous to the press conference, meet every single player
on the
team?
No, like, I
don't know why people would. I mean, I guess people get in uproar about anything.
Dude, I'm sitting around, you know, having my Cabernet at altitude and, you know, trying to stay off Twitter as much as possible. But no, I'm going to be back in the chair. Yeah, and I'll be back in the chair on Tuesday. And my feed is blowing up with people saying, like, Barstool eviscerated this guy.
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
Okay. Well.
And that is an influential outlet for a lot of people and how they view things. So, yeah, a lot of people thought it was awkward. And again, all I kept thinking was, like, when Sirianni came out.
Wasn't as bad as Sirianni's,
man. Oh, my goodness gracious. Sirianni even showed it to his team as a message that we all need to keep improving around here.
Well, and now that dude is like,
he's that man. I know. So, before we, like, that's my opinion on something that went extremely viral over the weekend. And, putting in your mind's eye how the season could possibly play out for the Arizona Cardinals. Because if it's not working out with Murray and he's not buying into what your coach is doing, and, you know, everything that's happened, you needed to put in that iPad clause, everything that you hear in from Patrick Peterson and the pushback that came against Patrick Peterson about what's going on behind the scenes with Kyler Murray there. If the Cardinals wind up being able to draft Caleb Williams, what do you think? So that's all coming. And it's not just the Cardinals. It could be any team that's sniffing around that first overall pick when it comes down to October and November. What you're hearing about Caleb, and whatever you're hearing about Bryce Young and how he could be, what, mini Mahomes. You're hearing about what C.J. Stroud is, his comp is. Wait till this kid comes out of USC. 1 year, like, flash forward to 1 year from now. Look out. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. When we come back here on the Rich Eisen Show, my top five storylines going into the NFL offseason, that's still to come. Also, your phone calls, as I mentioned, at 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the program. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Terrestrial Radio Network. Sitting here at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, with the supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger is the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. This gentleman's been hanging on for a while. Let's go to Richard in Maryland here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Richard?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's going on? What's on your mind?
Well, I'm really excited about the Zarek Bieniemy hire in Washington.
You should be.
I think he's going to do a great job. And he doesn't get the credit that he deserves for all the success in Kansas City. It boggles my mind that he's not a head coach. You know, Jonathan Gannon and Shane Steichen, all due respect to them, they lost the Super Bowl and they had jobs, you know, within days. I mean, I just don't understand Eric Bieniemy, with all the success he's had, why he's not a head coach.
I ask that question of a lot of people, and, you know, I get back, he's a hard ass, he's a complete hard ass, he would ride Adrian Peterson in a way that no other coaches did, that he treats things way too seriously, but, you know, I've heard the same thing about other coaches who have been hired, and you also hear, well, he didn't call the plays, you know, Andy Reid called the plays, why did Matt Nagy get a shot, from out of Kansas City? Doug Peterson get a shot at Kansas City and he didn't. I don't know, man, but you know, all I know is that if there is some sort of systemic reason why he did not get the job, then, and he can now be the guy who dials things up for Washington with the offense that they can have and make Sam Howell look the way that he can have, or they go out and make a big splash at quarterback, then it's his spot, and hopefully he'll get a head coaching job sooner rather than later that he deserves.
I think they need to see what they have in Sam Howell, because if you saw that game against Dallas, the stats didn't jump off the chart at you, but, you know, he's got really good arm talent.
Yep.
You look at his tape in college, and two of those long throws that he had were dropped by Terry McLaurin, and Jahan Dotson. And, you know, I'm sure I'll probably get flack for making this comparison, but, you know, you remember Patrick Mahomes. He started one game his rookie year when they had the playoffs locked up, and his stats didn't jump off the chart, but there was just enough sample size to where they said that guy. And I think the same is true with Sam Howell. I think he's they need to at least see what they have, because if they let him go and he goes to another team and does well, then there's a franchise quarterback, another one we just let go out the door.
I'm with you, and thanks for the call. Greatly appreciate it, Richard. You know, I'm lockstep with him. That's why I would much rather draft a guy and have him hit than going to the free agent market and hope for that too. Including Aaron Rodgers. I know you guys gave me so much crap, you know. Like
you don't want him.
If he comes to the New York Jets and he's a New York Jets quarterback, clearly they would become playoff contenders on the spot. I don't think they'd become Super Bowl contenders.
You don't?
No. No, I mean, the kids haven't done it yet. And by the way, you know, Rodgers' track record with his own kids is being used and discussed as a negative. You know, he didn't really throw his arms around Romeo Doubs, right?
The Jets have the 9th best Super Bowl odds, and they don't have a quarterback. So you don't think they're top five with Aaron Rodgers?
I wouldn't put him there. What are they, better than the Chiefs? Really?
Yeah, but nobody. Yeah,
let me talk about the Chiefs here a little bit here. Because, you know, of the many things that COVID robbed us of, it robbed the Chiefs of what we're going to be seeing for the first time, which is them as champions out and about. Them as champions out and about, and them as champions in front of the Arrowhead crowd celebrating it. Don't forget, they won the Super Bowl over the 49ers, and then the world shut down.
Yeah.
And I think we are going to see, and this is not more making up with Chiefs Kingdom. It isn't. Another one of the things I've been thinking about, you know, sitting there at altitude, I thought about it, you know, and what sparked it was Travis Kelce being announced as a host of Saturday Night Live,
buddy.
The Saturday of Combine Weekend.
It's going to be awesome.
And I think it'll be so much fun. I think he's going to have fun. I think he's going to be great at it. I think we all feel that way, right?
Yeah.
But this is just, again, we didn't see this the last time around because COVID robbed us of it. Them having the air of champions coming off of this win, this season, and then the offseason in which they're going to be out and about as champions, and how I think that that's going to add more to their air of invincibility going into next year. I proffer to say we're going to see some free agent moves. We're going to see some people want to join this team that's going to make them stronger going into next year. And then Arrowhead. And Mahomes now with having two championships under his belt and two MVPs under his belt and being the face of the NFL, which is only going to be more hammered home because they're going to be out and about. They just went away like the rest of the world the last time they won the Super Bowl. And they didn't have a home crowd. One of their greatest advantages. Mm-hmm. It's just anybody goes to a game in Arrowhead, you walk out of there with your ears ringing, and you stand there at the national anthem, and you're not ready for how loud the word Chiefs is when it's the home of the Chiefs. I thought about that, and they better bring that home field advantage, because I think we showed before we went, you know, before, you know, we closed up shop last week, that, you know, talked about their home schedule. They're going to need it. It's going to be a dynamite season for them next year, and I'm just wondering how different it's going to be, because we didn't see it last time. It's amazing what an SNL booking caused me to think.
I thought the same thing.
What? Oh, he's going to be great? You're talking about?
He's going to be great, but just the Chiefs out there as champs.
Yes.
Like, they're going to be doing the talk show circuit. We're going to see them in commercials.
Yes.
We're going to see them everywhere this summer. It's great. They deserve it.
And I think they're going to go into next year as the prohibitive favorites, the best chance to repeat.
Don't you think? I mean, them and the Bills have the same odds again right now. Before any moves, obviously, before the draft, before free agency.
We're going to go into this again, aren't we? The Bills and the Bengals, and who the hell is going to join
Bills
that mix, man?
The Bills window is closing.
I don't know about that. As long as, I mean, I feel that...
This was supposed to be their year.
No, nah, I know, but I still feel the way about the Bills as Burrow mentioned about the Bengals. As long as Allen's there, their window's open. Allen's that good. Let's not forget. Allen's that good.
Something was off with him.
Something was definitely off
last year.
I know.
Whether he was more injured middle than we of the thought season or what.
I don't know.
You know, it's something was different about him. They had a weird season. I mean, stuff going on in Buffalo, off the field, you know, just in the community.
That's why I'm not really discounting
throwing the ham on stuff, and it's, it was weird.
The next few weeks is highly important to see who else can join this fray. The three-team fray in the AFC. What the hell is going on with Lamar, right? What could be built here in Los Angeles for the Chargers with Kellen Moore dialing it up?
What are the Rams going to look like next year? That's a huge question, too.
Well, that's in the NFC, yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm just
saying. No, I know that.
Talk about LA.
Right.
But, I mean, they're 1 year removed from a remarkable Super Bowl season.
I was talking over the weekend with some friends. You know, I was hanging out with some good people
Ashton?
Over the weekend. No, not Ashton. No. It's no name drop here.
Well done. I like that. That's a good move.
Again, the altitude haze. I'm trying to remember which of the guys I was hanging with brought this up. Here we go. It was the last play of the Cowboys season.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It was like a year ago.
The last play of the Cowboys season. Asking, what the hell were they doing with Zeke Elliott snapping the ball to Dak? I had not thought about that play
in a few weeks.
No, there's lots to think about.
I thought it was goofy.
I would love to know.
Poor Zeke just got steamrolled.
That's what I mentioned. What was the end game scenario for that play when they snapped it?
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing that had to happen from that play was a touchdown to be scored. Mm-hmm. Okay. No time left for field goal. They had to get in the end zone. What was the play envisioned to do?
I think there was going to be a throwback.
From what? From who? Like Zeke was now removed from the play because he snapped it, right? Unless there is some sort of way that they lined up to make him eligible despite snapping it.
Wasn't all the linemen on the right side?
Well, there were a bunch of people. There were linemen, I think, lined up on either side of Zeke around the numbers, and there were players behind them who I guess Dak was going to throw it to, or he's throwing it over the middle, and they were going to lateral it to one of these guys who then had a convoy in front of him. And I thought about that because Kellen Moore is now out here in Los Angeles. Boy, I would love to get just somebody explain it to me. Or if we get Mike McCarthy fortunate enough to get him back calling us here, like something like what did you envision happening on that play with that formation?
I mean, they were at the 24-yard line. It's the same thing if he tries to throw a Hail Mary. I mean, there's no play that's going to score from this point, so you might as well. I mean, I don't know what they were trying to do, but the chances of on that play from that part of the field are just ridiculous.
So
anyway,
that's what I want to know, like, because they're not dumbasses. They must have practiced it. They must have, like, what was the play supposed to do?
But I mean, it's not like that. People are like, that play lost them the game or something.
After Zeke got knocked all the way back into Columbus, Ohio.
Okay, and Dak completed the pass, what you're saying.
Right.
Then what?
They're going to try to flea flicker.
Hook and ladder situation, yeah.
I mean, I think, maybe I don't look deep enough in the thing sitting in this chair. Maybe I should. But like I said, you're at the 24.
Yeah, you're just doing pitchy-pitchy woo-woo at that point.
What are you going to do?
That's what I just
want to
know.
There anyway.
I just want to know.
I think Dalton Schultz, you know, being pretty lackadaisical, getting his feet down on the play before, they would have been at like the 45. So you could have done a Hail Mary at that point.
Again, these are just moments that I get lost amongst the shuffle of championship game weekends and a Super Bowl.
Maybe a way to bring Dallas up when there was really clearly no reason to bring Dallas up.
I could bring up something else if you'd like.
Oh, please, go ahead.
No, it's all right.
No, please. I mean, yeah, we got time. 2 minutes. What do you want to bring
it's
up?
It's nothing to do with Dallas. It is not. It's just something that was asked of me over the weekend, and I'm like, you know what? I'll ask my Dallas friend over here to my right.
I have no idea either. I was like, this is interesting. But, I mean, again, from that point of on the field, what are you going to do?
Chiefs are going to show up next year angry again.
Angry? About what?
Because they're going to create something.
How?
They're the favorite.
How, Sway?
Somebody's going to.
And just like this, I think they were what, second or third favorite last year? Nobody disrespected them. Right. It's so bizarre.
They're going to show up. They're going to show up.
Oh, y'all disrespected us. Who?
Yeah. Travis Kelce's going to knock it out of the park.
It's
going to
be really funny. Their podcast is really good, him and his brother.
That's right.
They're really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
David Cross is going to join us next hour. He's on a new tour, Worst Daddy in the World tour. So I guess that's the exact opposite of my sign that I have here, Best Dad Ever.
Your sign is safe, is what you're saying?
I think my sign will be safe. I think we'll get the other side of the story.
So you can see how the other half is.
I have my top five list that I've been promoting. It's going to happen. My top five storylines going into the NFL offseason.
I promise to be quiet for the entire five.
Why do you have to be quiet? That's coming up. Hour number three on the Rich Eisen Show. Still here on our Roku channel feed.
All right, Jets. Like I said, Jets are ninth right now. They're 25-1 to win the Super Bowl. Here's who is ahead of them.
The Cowboys.
And if they get Rodgers,
let me guess.
Think about where they are.
Let me guess.
Okay.
Can I guess the eight in front of the Jets right now?
I like
here we
this.
Go. Let's
here
go. The eight
Let's
in front
go.
Of the Jets Let's go. Are the Chiefs?
Yes.
The Eagles?
Yes.
The 49ers?
Yes.
The Bengals?
Yes.
The Bills?
Yes.
Three
left.
I got to go Dallas.
Cowboys.
Right. Six. Then I'll go Jaguars? The Jaguars in front of them?
Jaguars are just below them at 10th.
Ooh. That's crazy. I would be so offended if I'm a Jaguar fan, and they're easily offended.
Chargers?
Ravens?
Boom. Both. Chargers and Ravens.
Hey.
Now, if they get Rodgers, who do they jump ahead of?
Green Bay.
Green Bay is way down. Green Bay is 35-1. Oh, in the eight. In the top eight that are ahead of them.
Brilliant.
They get Rodgers. Now they're ahead of Baltimore, Chargers. They're ahead of the Cowboys. You could make the case they're ahead of the Bengals.
No, you can't make that case. No. You can't make that case.
Really?
Yeah, I can't make the case.
Do you fear success,
They're going to lose T. Higgins.
Chris, I'm starting to think that he fears success. Like, he doesn't want his team to succeed.
The Jets being good now takes away his identity of being a loser.
Let me just say it right here. Stop it. Stop it. Last time the Jets took a Green Bay goat, it didn't work out.
Yep.
All right, I still wear the scars.
All right, I'm just saying.
You loved Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now get to know her on Give Them Lala.
With her assistant, Jess.
L.A., it can become suffocating. Did something happen where you felt like, I have to get out of here? Or do you just think it just happens sometimes?
I think it just happens, but also just everything going on in my personal life. Like, I want to get on this mic and be like, this is what I've been dealing with for 14 months.
Give Them Lala, wherever you listen.